Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me. If you just tuned in, if you welcome aboard, I should say, and if you've been listening already, you already heard Jeffrey Zabar and me talking about getting ready for the hurricane season. Well, what you didn't realize was I was also getting you ready for this hurricane person we got coming up here. Mark Mayberry he's not a human being, folks. He's a force. Mark is the president of the Mayberry Group. He's the author of Building the Dream Workforce, and he helps people and companies put their best foot forward in the marketplace in a way that nobody else does. He's our good friend. Mark, welcome back.
Thanks, Jim. Always a delight.
It's good to have you here. And you sent me a little note about what you want to talk about today.
Yeah.
I really am glad to hear that you've got that on your mind. I was telling the audience before you got here that there are two elements to execution of your business, regardless of what it is, whether it's getting the paperwork done or buying and selling or taking care of customers or whatever it might be, the process and the people. And you, as well as anybody I know, can help us differentiate between those two, understand how to put them together, and understand which one is the most important. Would you talk to us about that a little bit?
I appreciate the opportunity to do that, Jim. It's been something that's been on my mind for many years, and it's a very long story, and I'll make it as short as I can. My wife and I went to see Tom Peters speak years ago, back when I was still in the apparel business in the 80s. And I was just really blown away by Tom. And afterwards, I had met several people at the conference. Like, you know, when you go to a conference, you
right.
network the best you can. And there was a guy that I really liked there, and I called him up about, maybe a month later, just to see how he'd done. And he said, you know, what Peters was talking about, it made sense, but I just couldn't fit it in. But then I went to another seminar, and I learned about process. And once I implemented process, it all worked. And that, I never quite understood how that worked for him, but it just stayed in the back of my mind. Well, I was given a presentation out in Seattle back just this past month, and there was a guy there that was my host. His name is David Cox, and he worked for Grable Moving Company. And here's a guy that has been nothing but successful. And as we're riding in the car, he says to me, we're having a conversation about business. He said, Mark, when I finally realized it was the people, not the process, my business turned around. And that was more onto my type of thinking. I just, for all these years, had held that in the back of my head. Now, Jim, as you know, you need to have both. You have to have a process, but you really have to have people. And one of the things that he said really struck home with me. He says, you have to know what you can expect to your team, each team member, and then you need to hold them accountable for that. And I think that's where so many businesses fail, is they really don't know what to expect. They don't train their people properly to go out. Of course, you know my expertise is customer service. And it still amazes me, and I'm sure it does you too, to go out in the workplace and see so much terrible customer service out there.
Well, it's abysmal, and it's all because of what you're talking about. Why do you think people get so comfortable with the process? They gravitate toward the process and not so much the people. You think it's because they enjoy manipulating the process? They can tweak and fine tune the process without getting a whole lot of feedback back, and not getting any lip from anybody or any attitude from anybody or the process. Here's the thing about the process, Mark. It always shows up. It's never late. It's always there. Midnight, you get up in the middle of the night, you want to work on something, the process isn't going to be there. But people are different. It's a little harder to work with people, isn't it? It takes a little more patience, more dedication, and more caring.
Unfortunately, Jim, what I find is most companies don't get the process right either. they have some things set up that you can't even imagine.
You've been going down to the bankruptcy building, haven't you?
I'm telling you, I don't think you even need to go that far. Just look at the newspaper every day, and you see where the mistakes are made.
Right. Well, what do we do to fix this, Mark?
Well, I think it boils down to, number one, you have to have some kind of process and some kind of vision of what you believe in. And I'm going to kind of keep this on the customer service side now. What is your customer service vision? Do you understand it? Does your team understand it? Do they buy into it?
Wait a minute. Stop a minute.
Yeah.
Customer service vision. Folks, write that down. That's going to be on the test. Customer service vision. Now, that's a very interesting term that you've given us there. And we're going to take a break in a few seconds. I want to come back. It's going to be a good time to take a break. Folks, while you're thinking about that, while you're thinking about you, I bet you anything, most of you, if you're honest with yourself, you'll say, you know what? I may have a customer service vision, but I've never thought about it like that. So think about that. Ask yourself, what's my customer service vision? When we come back, Mark will help you define it and crystallize it so you can execute it. 20 Tales, stay with us. We'll be right back with Mark Mayberry.
Through this world, nothing can stop a Duke-a-ver.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Mark Mayberry, a longtime member of our Brain Trust and a good friend. And we're talking about process. We shouldn't say process versus people.
No.
But we should say the interrelationship, or the relationship, I should say, and the interdependency of the process and the people.
You better have both.
You got to have both. And so you said something when we went to the break, and I really think that that's an important term. And I don't think I've ever heard anybody say it like you just said it.
Right.
Customer service vision.
Yes.
Tell us what you mean by that. How would we develop one of those?
Well, there's so many organizations that don't even have a general vision or a mission statement and an action plan. But even if you have that, you've got to look at the customer service side of things. I was giving a presentation to a group of executives not long ago, Jim, and we were talking about this vision thing with customer service, and one of the CEOs raised his hand. He said, you know, Mark, he said, this jolted me, just like it kind of did you when I put it in those words. He said, I know what my vision is for customer service in my company. I've got my VP right here with me, and I'm sure that he understands what our vision is. But I'll bet our frontline people don't have a clue what it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to get together with your team, and the more people you can have participate, the better in forming this vision. What should customer service look like in your organization? The Ritz-Carlton has their credo card. And on there, they've got the three steps that every guest should at least experience, being greeted when they come in and so forth. For every company out there, what's the minimum that every customer should experience when they work with your organization?
Well, all right, keep going. You're doing good.
All right. So let's just say that you're, I think it's a good example is convenience stores. I work a lot with convenience stores, and the one that always amazes me is QT, Quick Trip. I don't know if you've got those in your part of the country or not, but mm-hmm. They're pretty spread out. And it's amazing the way these people do it. They've got a vision what their customer should see. They've always got the best service in their stores. They've got the lowest prices in town. They've got the cleanest stores. And they blow the competition away. If I was a convenience store, all I'd do is go in there and observe them for about a half hour and then go home and try and duplicate it.
Well, you know, Mark, I'm going to point out a mistake that they may be making then.
Tell me.
If they're that compelling a place, maybe they need to raise their prices a little bit.
You know, you'd think that.
I'm serious. That's what I tell small business owners.
Uh-huh.
If small business owners can get this vision thing you're talking about, if they can get that customer vision clicking, and if they can get the people in the process clicking to deliver that customer service vision, they can raise their prices.
Oh, I absolutely agree with that. No doubt about it. With gasoline, I think it's probably the hardest place to do it.
That's a tough one. Now, I'm not talking about gasoline.
Right.
You know,
right.
Gasoline's tough. You can't. That's like oxygen. You know, it's a commodity.
Absolutely. Well, it's like in my profession, you can always find a cheaper speaker than Mark Mayberry.
Right.
But what do you get in return?
That's right. You don't get the best, right?
No, you absolutely don't. Unless you get Mike Stewart or Jeffrey Zavar there.
Well, let's talk about let's talk some more about this customer service vision and how we develop that. First, we have to get it out of our head, right? It has to come out of our head, and then we got to get it into the heads of our employees, right?
We have to be a little careful with that, Jim, because if the idea is the CEOs or even the leadership teams, it's so easy then for the rest of the organization to say, well, that's their idea, not mine. I don't have to buy into it. So you have to get as many people as you can involved in the planning process as you develop this vision. That way, when they go back to work, they say, I had a part in that. They take ownership of the plan.
Right.
Whereas if you just come down with your executive team and say, this is what our vision is going to be, now you do it, it's so easy for them to say, that's not my plan. I don't need to worry about that. That's what the boss thought.
Right.
So the first step is when you're making this plan, when you're getting this vision, that you get everybody involved. Now, that doesn't mean if you've got an organization of 1,000 people that you have to have a 1,000-person planning team.
Right.
But you need to make sure that every one of those 1,000 people feel like they were represented in this. And then the people with it, say that boils down to 15 people. Those 15 have to go out and help you sell that to everybody else in the organization.
Well, there needs to be something, some element of contribution from everybody, even if there is 1,000 people, even if their contribution is small at the beginning. But because when you come back to them with this vision that the company has, they need to recognize some part of it, don't they? I mean, when you're talking about getting it, you know, down all the way out to the outside levels, the last mile of your organization, if they've never seen or heard of this, I think it's going to be different than if they had played just a little teeny tiny part. Maybe they just filled out a form. Maybe they just gave you some feedback on answered some questions or something like that. But what you're talking about, Mark, it sounds to me, is our customer service vision, not my customer service vision.
That's the big difference, and that's where so many people make a mistake. I have executives call me up and say, Mark, we just went away to this beautiful resort, and we came up with our customer service vision or a mission statement for the whole organization, and we want you to come in here and sell it to my team. Well, I'd rather play out on I-285 in the traffic than to try and do that if the team didn't have a part in the planning process.
Right.
And like you said, it could be that, let's say you've got 1,000 people and only 15 people are going to go to this meeting. Well, those 15 have to reach out before the meeting to the rest of the 1,000 people and get their input. What do you want me to bring forth in this meeting? They have to have that opportunity.
Mark, hold on to that thought. Folks, our good friend Mark Mayberry is our guest. He's the co-author of Building the Dream Workforce and Mayberry.com, right, Mark? Is that the website?
I wish. It's MarkMayberry.com.
MarkMayberry.com. There you go, folks. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Celebrating 6 years is radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of 2 books, and all-around nice guy.
He's everywhere! He's everywhere!
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's good to be back with you, as always. Mark Mayberry is our guest, and Mark, this is our 6th anniversary. You're starting, as of after today, we'll be in our 7th year together. We're just finishing up 6 years. Thank you for all the time and the wisdom that you've given us over the years.
Jim, it's been fabulous. My biggest regret is in those 6 years, we've only played golf together once.
I know, but we're going to fix that this summer, right?
Yes, we are.
We're going to play golf again this summer and have a little fun. I'm looking forward to that. But congratulations on 6 years with us, and thank you for the time and the wisdom.
Thanks for your belief in my stuff, Jim.
Oh, I do. We believe in you. We sure do. Mark, let's get back to the process and the people. Now, we've got our vision, our customer service vision. You told us a little bit about some of the mechanics of all this. How do we know when to focus on the process and when to focus on the people?
Well, you got to have the process in place. You have to feel comfortable with that. And then you need to move right into the people side of things, and that is to make sure that you're spending the time and the money to train your team properly. So many people say, we just don't have the time to train them. Well, then you're putting people out there in front of your customers. It is your lifeline, and they're not properly prepared to take care of those customers.
Well, think about this, Mark, in terms of you know, your business is not as important as your life is.
Amen.
But other than that, your life and your soul and your family, other than that, it's at least number four, isn't it?
It certainly is, Jim.
And
there's no doubt about it.
And so you wouldn't want a surgeon to operate on you and find out that he said, you know, that other course that taught me how to do this a little better, it was just, I just didn't have enough money and I didn't want to go to the extra time. And so, but we'll be fine. Don't worry. Go ahead and let's put you to sleep and we'll be fine, I'm sure.
You know, what I'm amazed in that field is the LASIK surgery, and people are advertising, it's this cheap, it's this cheap.
Yeah.
If I'm going to get laser surgery on my eyes, I don't want the cheapest. Do you?
No, I want the best. And our customers want that from us, don't they?
They really do. They want the best service. They want the best product or service that you can deliver. And you've got to train your team properly. And I think I've mentioned this before, the Container Store is rated one of the top five places to work in America every year. And they spent every first year team member with the Container Store, they take 242 hours of training in
Wow.
that first year.
Wow.
Now that's a commitment to training your team and making sure that they're qualified.
You
go into that QT service station, you see people that are fully qualified. They're well paid. Even though they've got the cheapest price in town, they still somehow have the top pay scales and the top training program. Just watch them count back your change.
Mm-hmm.
I asked the guy one time, I said, how much time do you see? Everybody counts change back so professionally here. Do they actually train you on that? He says, yeah, we spend about an hour just on how to count your change back.
I'll be darned.
And that's what it takes, is that
you know where it begins? After you make the commitment in your mind, the next thing is you got to budget for it.
Oh, absolutely.
It's got to be in your budget. If it's not in your budget, if it's not part of the process, it's not going to happen.
You got to have in the budget, both time-wise and dollar-wise.
If you pulled out the budgets for 100 small businesses and you looked at their line items, I bet you 90 of them would not have a nickel budgeted for training.
I agree with that. Their training program is follow this person around for a week and then you're on your own.
Yeah.
And that just doesn't work.
If that.
Yes, if that, you're
right.
You
might be a little generous. So the question is, if you've now developed your customer service vision, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to do it the right way? Are you going to do it, you know, after a fashion?
Absolutely. Are you going to have that vision, and then are you going to spend the time and the dollars to train your team to actually make that vision become a reality?
Mark, give us your website again, please.
It's www.markmayberry.com, and my toll-free number is 800-394-6138.
Don't go to Mayberry.com, folks. That's where you can find Opie and Andy.
That's right.
You got to go to MarkMayberry.com, and they can also find Building the Dream Workforce there, can't they?
Absolutely, along with some other audio CDs and DVDs.
Right. Hey, Mark, thanks for being here again. Thanks for 6 great years. We're looking forward to 6 more.
Jim, at least 6.
Yeah. Hey, thanks. Mark Mayberry, ladies and gentlemen, he's the best, as you can tell. And what a great job of helping us understand that customer service vision and the process and the people. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be back on the other side of the news. Don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.